Over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Rosina. Greetings, everyone. We're turning in for our teaching today, James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. And he begins by asking this question: who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from weakness, or in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy or envy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Oh, Father, I again want to pray that this scripture will come alive to us and that it would be used by you to shape us as individuals and as a community. Set this up so I can see some of your faces. That's nice. In this chapter 3 began where James says, not many of you should become teachers. And I think this particular passage, and the first reason he gives is he says, you know, teachers, how do they do their work? Mainly through the use of their tongues. And he says, we all of us stumble in many ways, and teachers will be held to account for the use of their tongues. And since everybody misuses our tongues, people who become teachers are open to being judged in a greater way. So we learn a lot about the tongue from chapter verse 1 to 12 of chapter 3. But I think he's still kind of referring to teachers, because teachers claim to have wisdom. They have to have something to teach. And James now is contrasting. So if you think you're a teacher, you think you're wise, if you think you have something to teach, I want you to know that there are two kinds of wisdom. Just as earlier he pointed out, there are two kinds of faith. There's true faith that unites you to Jesus. And so united to Jesus, you come alive and you have energy and power to change. And then there's just nominal faith. Faith that might know some truths, but the truth is not really in you. And he calls that dead faith, even demonic faith. The demons believe and they shudder. So just as there are kind of two kinds of faith, James is contrasting two kinds of wisdom. There is wisdom that comes from the world. It's wisdom that has bitter envy and selfish ambition. It's wisdom that works. It's motivated by envy. Envy is the desire, is the is is the desire to have what other people have. And even the wish that they might not have it, but that you have it. And selfish ambition, of course. We heard about that a great deal in as we studied the book of Philippians, is the opposite, the complete opposite of Jesus's life, who sacrificed himself for the good of others. Selfish ambition is the desire to promote ourselves, please ourselves, advance ourselves, do what's best for ourselves, even at the expense of our brothers and sisters. And there are people that are wise in those ways. They're wise in acquiring what other people have, sometimes by theft, sometimes by just being very clever. And they're wise in getting ahead. But James says, that's not the kind of wisdom that God wants. That's not the kind of wisdom that God approves of. That's not the kind of wisdom that is good for you, or it's good for the church. That kind of wisdom, verse 15 says, does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And where that kind of exists, and where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. In Hindi, it says, kyunki jaha da or virod hota hai, vaha bakera or har prakar ka dushkaram bhi hota hai. Where there is da, D-A-A-H, or virod, there is bakera or har prakar ka dushkaram, all kinds of misdeeds occurring. And especially an emphasis is on disorder to unity and the creation of rivalry, of competition, of factions, of groups, groupings. As we read the New Testament letters, that's one of the great concerns of the writers, that the church not become divided. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollo. Oh, I'm of Jesus Christ. That we be careful that our ambitions, our desires to get ahead, to make a name for ourselves, that we try to create little groups and factions. So that kind of wisdom comes from the evil one. But what about the other kind of wisdom? The wisdom from above. Godly wisdom. Verse 17 describes godly wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Just think about some of those words. The wisdom from above is pure. That means holy. It's not mixed. The motivation is not mixed, but devotion to God is first and primary in the wisdom from above, not mixed with self-interest, but an interest in seeing God glorified and other people blessed. Think of Philippians 2, where Paul describes the mind of Christ, which is not motivated towards self-interest, selfish ambition, but towards the good of others, willing to lay down our lives for the sake of others, the way Jesus did for us. That's not mixed with a desire to glorify ourselves, make a name for ourselves, or make our lives better at the expense of others. The wisdom from above is peace-loving. It does not enjoy rivalry, competition, and dispute. But the way that selfish ambition and leads to rivalry, it does not want fighting, but is peace-loving. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, insofar as possible, insofar as you can make it happen, strive to be at peace with everyone. That's the wisdom from above. It is not happy with broken relationships. My heart breaks over some broken relationships. And I pray that it will continue to be softened, and that all of us, when we are in an argument or in a conflict, that it would really break our hearts and that we'd long for peace and reconciliation. What do we usually long for is victory, to be proven right. The wisdom from above wants peace, wants reconciliation. It's also considerate. It thinks about the needs of others. Another translation of this word is actually reasonable. The wisdom from above is reasonable and fair-minded towards others. It's open to hearing the other side of things. It considers things. To consider things is to think about them, to be open. So often in our lives, we are just filled with our own ideas, and we cannot even think that that we're wrong and somebody else is right. James is saying that the wisdom from God is prepared to hear the other side of the story and be persuaded. It thinks about the other's point of view. And if we do that sort of thing, we will be submissive at times. If we are open to reason and willing to listen and learn from the other side, then we will be open to correction, open to seeing where we've been wrong, and willing and ready to repent and make peace. Wisdom from above is submissive. It does not have to have its way. It's willing to put your desires aside for the good of others. Think about yourself and think about your life over the past few months. Have you been in conflicts? Have you had situations where you just knew you were right and the other person was wrong? Were you acting out of the world's wisdom or the wisdom from above? The wisdom from above is full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. We've already seen some of these ideas. To be impartial means you don't take sides. You're open to following what's right, not your own ideas. To be full of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is to be merciful to somebody is to give them kindness that they don't deserve. Mercy are acts of undeserved kindness. So it's very close to grace, which is an undeserved blessing. And why do you think wisdom produces mercy? I think it does because wisdom from God shows us that we need undeserved kindness. Wisdom from God that comes in the gospel message says, you're worse than you think. Your sins are greater than you can imagine. Wisdom from God says that you and I are not better than anybody else in the world. We are all equally in need of God's mercy from God. We are all equally in need of forgiveness. We are all equally in debt to God's grace. We are all equally in need of, and we've all received an equal amount of God's mercy and love. None of us can say we're better than another in a moral sense. One of my writers that I enjoy reading, Thomas A. Kempis, says, the one who knows himself well, it's a meditation on wisdom. He says, we all want to know. Everybody desires to know. He says, the best thing to know is to know yourself. And if you know yourself, you'll know he who knows himself is vile in his own sight. He knows he's a sinner. He knows what Isaiah saw when he was in worship and saw the glory and holiness of God. And Isaiah said, woe is me. I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Wisdom, Job received wisdom. The end of the book of the Job, he says to God, I heard of you, I knew about you, but now I've experienced who you are. And I see how great and glorious and holy you are. And I humble and hate myself. I humble myself in dust and ashes, and I hate myself. I am vile. Kempis's words, he who knows himself well is vile in his own eyes. Kempis says, we are all weak. We are all weak. We are all prone to sin. Do not count yourself less weak than anybody else. Look around you. You're the weakest in the group. You and I are, I'm the weak link. You're the weak link as far as we're concerned. We are in desperate need of God's grace. And if we ever experience God in his holiness, you will know that. The way that Job did, the way that Isaiah did, Peter did. After Peter had the big catch of fish, after a night of fishing, Jesus told him to go back out and throw the nets on the in the other side of the boat. They caught all this fish, and Peter fell down on his face and said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He saw his need for grace. If you know the gospel at all, you've had some experience of that. You know you've been saved by grace, by undeserved mercy, by undeserved kindness. That's wisdom. And you have that kind of knowledge of yourself, it will show itself in the way we treat one another. Question, why is it that wisdom from below, you know, causes so many problems? And the part of the answer is, you know, comes from the fact that we all deserve and we all desire and want happiness. This comes from St. Augustine from the 400 AD. Augustine is famous for talking about disordered love, disordered desires. And he says all men want happiness. And normally we think if we get what we want, then we'll be happy. If we get what we love, we would be happy. But that's not true, because our loves can be disordered in various ways. It's possible to love something too much. And if you love it too much, it will end up destroying you. It becomes an idol and it destroys you. Like, you shouldn't love money too much. You shouldn't love comfort too much. You shouldn't love your car too much. Even your children or your husband or wife, if you love them too much, more than God, it will end up making you unhappy, and you will end up doing wrong because of it. This is Augustine. He says, love can be disordered also because, I'll give you an example. This is a brand new example. A few minutes ago, half an hour ago, we learned that somebody smashed into my car on the road. Did they put a note on my car door or in my windshield? No. Did they look around and try to find the house that the car belonged to? No. They didn't think anybody saw it, so the guy drove off. And he thought, I'm going to get away. So he did the wrong thing, right? What was he motivated by? A desire to save some money. He loved money more than the right thing. And ultimately, it means he loved money more than God. Because if he was listening to God, God would have said, the right thing is to find the owner of this car and give him your insurance and tell them that what you've done so that they can go ahead and fix it. And you pay to have it fixed. But he loved money, or he feared this guy. We don't think he had a driver's license. Perhaps he feared that he would be punished by his parents. Again, more than doing the right thing. So he had a disordered love, and it led him doing the wrong thing. Love can be, you can also have disordered love because it's the wrong thing to love. Like in this case, loving the money or loving was more important than doing the right thing. That was disordered. or we can fail to love what we should love. We ought to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. But instead, if we have selfish ambition, we love ourselves more than God. And it leads to breakdown in our life and in our community. So the wisdom from below is dangerous and damaging because it's rooted in disordered love, and especially that love is love for self rather than for God. So what's the solution? The solution is simple. Learn to desire what's the best. Learn to become passionate for God. Learn to love God and his kingdom above all things. Where do we get a love like that from? We can't just create it in ourselves. It comes from meditating on the gospel. It comes from steeping ourselves in the fact that God loves us. Then it comes from knowing the truth that he is the only one who's ultimately satisfying. It comes from knowing the truth about the world, that in the end, it does not satisfy. Fame and success and money will all let us down. Beauty will let us down. At the end of the day, Christ and his kingdom are the full and final satisfaction that we desire. Fellowship with one another is part of that. Living together in harmony, living together in unity, in celebrating God together is part of what brings true satisfaction. We should be seeking God to develop our hearts along those lines. It comes from a lifestyle of repentance and faith. Ask God to give you a heart that desires him above all things. One way is to make part of your prayer life, as you pray, pray that God will give you a desire to love him above everything else. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. It's so beautiful. When you see it, you want to give everything to get it. Part of your prayer life can be to ask God to show you how great the pearl is. The problem isn't that we only want the wrong things. We do not want enough. Want what is best. And what is best is God. Want what is best. And what is best is Christ and his kingdom. Bringing our lives in line with that. You can make $1 million and it will not, or pounds. It won't ultimately satisfy. It's life with the Father in the fellowship of the church that is ultimately satisfying. It's what we are made for. God put eternity in our hearts. The problem is we have disordered loves. What part of our prayer life must be to ask God to put our love in order. Instead of selfish ambition, make it kingdom ambition. And the envy will take care of itself. Jealousy and envy disappear. If I deeply long for God to be glorified in the kingdom to come, I will rejoice when I see others succeeding in the kingdom. Because my ambition isn't making myself great. My ambition is not to make myself rich. My ambition is not to make myself comfortable. My ambition is not to be glorified by you guys. It's to glorify God, like John the Baptist. He was not interested in just having followers. He said, I'll be happy to become a nobody so that Jesus is glorified. He was truly free because he was passionate about a greater good. So we overcome selfish ambition, we overcome jealousy and envy by asking God to give us an appreciation for him and his glory. And of repenting, that means saying, God, sorry, and change me for loving the wrong things, for loving things too much. I wish I could make this clearer, but that's why we teach again and again and again. It's these themes have to come over in many different ways. A life of unity and blessing and joy in the church, in our family, in our community, will grow and develop as we put aside jealousy and envy and selfish ambition. And we can overcome jealousy and envy and selfish ambition, not just by work, by willpower, but by getting a greater desire or by getting our loves in order. And the highest love is God. Let's seek to love him above all else. And to meditate on the fact that he loves us and wants to give us this kind of heart. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray that you would give us the wisdom from above that is pure and peace-loving and considerate and submissive, that looks out for the welfare of others and not only for ourselves. Take away from us jealousy and envy and the selfish ambition that it's rooted in. Give us an ambition for your kingdom and your glory. We thank you that you forgive our sins. We thank you that on the cross of Christ, Jesus carried our disorder. And because of it, we are forgiven. When Adam and Eve sinned, they put love of self above love of God. And we are all been born with their sin. Deliver us from it, Lord, we pray. Give us a greater love for you, and then may we love one another as love of God overflows from us. In Jesus' name, amen.